So if you're going to create a page, I would rather somebody spend, you know, 10 hours on one really well-defined car accident page specific to your city, specific to the roads, specific to the state, than pump out 10 garbage blogs, you know, just repeating about a car accident story that was written by, you know, five of your local newspapers.
Welcome to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Series. My name is Adam Arkfeld, an entrepreneur, marketer, and seeker of high-performing habits, tips, and strategies. Each week, I'll bring to you an elite performer, a legal expert, or simply a strategy to help you see and follow the path to personal greatness in your firm and life. Thank you for joining us today. Now let's get started.
Welcome, everyone, to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Arkfeld, president and founder of Prevail Legal Marketing. And today, I have Eric Bersano with me. He's the vice president of business development at Market My Market. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Adam, for the invite.
All right. So, Eric, give us a little bit of a high-level overview of Market My Market and the services you provide.
So, Market My Market, just to give you a high-level view of it, would be kind of the genesis of it, which is our co-founders, Chase and Ryan, who noticed a hole in the market. Ryan specifically had worked at several law firms throughout Florida in very competitive markets, personal injury, criminal defense, and saw as kind of a conduit between SEO companies and himself that there was a gap in what was being provided. So Ryan took it upon himself to learn SEO, to be able to do these types of performances and tracking on his own, and had a lot of success. So with that, he took that to Chase, who's the other co-founder, and said, hey, I think we've got something here. There's a big gap in the way that SEO is being performed and that the way that it's being transferred over as far as the, not transferred over, but the information that's being transcribed to the attorneys. Because at the end of the day, attorneys are really only interested in one thing. How many new signed clients am I getting for the money that I'm paying? As opposed to being overwhelmed with traffic reports and, you know, pages of content, which is all part of it, but really distilling it down to what you're going to get for the investment that you're making on a monthly basis with SEO.
Great. So I want to start with just hearing about the mindset that you believe attorneys need when it comes to SEO. And what is the mindset that, you know, your highest performing attorneys have? How do they think about SEO and what's their approach? Because it's sort of a challenging marketing vertical. I would say it's one of the hardest because results can be fuzzier sometimes and it takes time. So tell me a little bit about mindset.
Yeah. So the mindset of an attorney has to be that they need to believe that SEO is a solution for them. I used to try to convince people, hey, SEO is great. SEO is going to be good for you. But that's a really hard hill to climb. Number one, SEO takes a long time. So to convince somebody who says, I've never gotten a client from the web, and I'd say that's right because you don't rank anywhere on the web except for your name or your law firm. And sometimes barely do they rank for that. So I've given up on trying to convince somebody that SEO works. Typically, the people that come to me with a mindset is either they did SEO in the past, you know, they were early adopters and just whatever they did worked. And then they got surpassed by people who did it better or smarter. So they know that there's something there. Or they are at a bar association meeting, they're at a conference, and they talk to a really successful attorney and said, well, how are you getting all your business? Well, we have a really great online presence. Then now they have belief. So it's not me trying to convince them that SEO works. So the number one thing for an attorney is they really have to believe that it works. And then the second step is you've got to go out and find a firm that you trust. Whether that's Market My Market or not, there's a lot of people that are out there. And my old saying is, in order to set up an SEO company, all you need is a laptop, a Wi-Fi connection, and a phone. And boom, you're an SEO. So finding somebody that you trust and can show, you know, a longevity of being able to do SEO in competitive markets. As you mentioned, the legal world, in my mind, is probably the most competitive, and that's backed up by pay-per-click terms on Google. There was a sheet that went around 3 or 4 years ago that showed out of the top 100 most expensive keywords in Google AdWords, I think 80 of them were around the legal field. personal injury, mesothelioma, truck accident, wrongful death. So it's very competitive. You also have to have patience. So the mindset would be, okay, here's my market. I'm in Tulsa or Oklahoma City. I'm not sure why I picked the Oklahoma cities, but that's your mindset is, okay, I want to break into my market. And you can either try to be a big fish in a small pond, meaning pick a niche, say, okay, I'm personal injury, but I'm going to really focus on dog bites or wrongful death. Everybody wants car accidents because that's the biggest mode of injury for most people. Or I'm going to pick a really hyper small town. So if I'm in Miami, maybe I focus on Aventura and I really build up a really big base there and then I start to spread out. But with that being said, patience is probably one of the keys that you'd have to have in your mindset.
Okay. So someone is maybe not a believer, they're listening to this podcast, they're maybe not necessarily a believer in SEO or they're skeptical of it. Then they hear the podcast, they've talked to a couple of attorneys and they say, I have great SEO, great online presence. And they go, okay, well, maybe this is a thing. So maybe I need to look into it more. When they go out and start looking for SEO companies, I mean, clearly market my market is an option. We would encourage you to reach out to them. But just generally speaking, what do they look for? How do you qualify an SEO company?
Sure. And just to back up one step when you say, okay, so maybe someone's starting to get convinced. One thing I do tell people when they're saying, well, I'm really not sure if this is for me, I'll say, okay, do a Google search in your market and see who ranks in the top three. See if you recognize those. See if any of those firms have referred you cases. Because what I hear over and over in my industry is, I'm a better trial attorney than all these guys. I've been doing this for 20, 25 years. And this person who's never seen the inside of a courtroom is referring me cases and taking a big fat referral check on the back end. Right. Do some Google searches for those cases and see where that person is showing up. So that's kind of where I start with all right, there's something to it. And that person who's showing up in the top three is fighting tooth and nail to be there. So that's where I usually start the conversation. And now to go on how to vet somebody. Number one, I'd say look for the best company that you can find. And what I mean by that is just because you're in Denver doesn't mean you need to look for a Denver SEO company. If you find one that's there, that's great. That's great. But you know, the world is online these days. Don't settle for somebody who's proximity close to you, but may not have the skill set. Look for a specialist. We do legal marketing. Now, if you find somebody who says that they're an SEO and all their clients are doctors and dentists and accountants, that is a completely different focus. So we've spent years developing resources that are all legal focused because the way Google looks at things is, I want, when I see a link or when I see information, I want it to be authoritative, meaning Google has a lot of respect for that website. So, you know, if you were to take a website like WebMD, Google has a ton of respect for that website. Well, if you take another website on the other end of that, it's a blog that's been up for 3 weeks, that's not very authoritative. No matter how great that article is on coronavirus, it's not going to hold a candle to WebMD. And then relevancy. Relevancy is how close are those links and is that content to your practice area? So if we're talking about a website that has everything to do with legal, like a fine law or an AVO, that's relevant. So building up those relevant resources by being really niche, which we are in the legal world, is step two. The other thing is make sure that they've had success in other similar practice areas and geographies. So if you're in Houston and the person you're talking to is showing you results for, you know, Fresno or, you know, some small town in the middle of nowhere, Arkansas, that's not going to be really relevant to your really hyper competitive market. So compare and contrast. One of the things I hear all the time when people are vetting different SEO companies is, either you're all saying the same thing, how do I know what to trust? Or all of your proposals are so different, I don't know how to compare apples to apples. So at some point, you've got to go off your gut feel after you've checked off those first three boxes.
Yeah, I think, you know what, as a marketer myself, you know, we have a you know, we have a similar specialty in pay-per-click that you have in SEO. And I tell everybody, whether they're friends or prospects or whoever, if you're looking for a marketer for to do something specific, make sure they have a lot of experience in your niche and ask them to see results. And just the exact same things that you said, because if they don't have experience and they don't have results, then they're just going to learn on your money and they may fail and they're going to be okay with that because they're still going to get paid. And, you know, they're not going to feel good about it. It's not like they're bad people, but they're just going to be learning on your dollar. And the next person's got a little bit better results. The next person's got a little bit better results, but you're going to be the first person with the terrible results.
Yeah, now it's a good point. And the hardest part about SEO, and you, I think you can attest to this because you're in PPC. There's so many things that are complete inverses. Like PPC, I tell people to do all the time because if you need clients right now, PPC is great. You can get your ad campaign up quickly. You can start getting leads. You can start getting cases. SEO is different. So if I call somebody and they say, "Oh, I've been with my SEO company for 3 months and I haven't even, you know, seen one client yet," I'm like, "All right." To be fair, they need at least 6 months. And in a hyper competitive market, and there's actually a Google blog, a Google person is saying in a competitive market, it can take 9 months to a year. So if you're in an LA, Houston, New York, Chicago, those are just where the expectations is. Now that's the valley of doubt. Okay, Eric, I hired you. It's been 3 months and I'm not seeing any cases yet. What's going on? That's where that trust has to come in. And I always tell people up front, here's what you can expect. You can expect to see your rankings improve, but not see really good cases come until you get to the top half of the first page. But I'm hoping that the data that I'm showing you in that 6 month period of time is at least buying your trust that we're going to get you there. Because it's never an overnight success story with SEO.
Now, the valley of doubt, I like that. You got to be in the valley of doubt for maybe 6 months. So let's say someone hires a company and after 6 months, what's like a reasonable expectation? I mean, how if I'm sitting there 6 months later and I'm like, okay, I've done this, I've gone through the valley of doubt. What can they expect? I mean, is it a couple extra leads a month? And I know this is a super hard question, but these are the questions that people are trying to figure out in their mind as they're, you know, talking to SEO companies and trying to go down this route.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a very common question. And it's a 100% fair question. If I'm an attorney and I'm going to trust you with my marketing budget and you're telling me it's going to take me 6 months to get there, what are my expectations? So what I'll typically tell people is as you see the competitive keywords that you're ranking for climb, you're going to start to get more phone calls, but you're probably going to have really low quality cases because now you've gotten to a point where you're in the ball game, but you're not high enough on the first page that you're getting the first bite at the apple. So you're going to be picking through all those cases that have been rejected by, you know, the people who are showing up on the top half. You will start to show up for what we would call long tail searches or top of the funnel. So for example, someone got in a car accident, they've got some injuries. Their insurance company is offering them a $50,000 settlement. They're like, I've heard of these personal injury attorneys. Maybe this isn't the best thing for me. Should I settle with my insurance company or should I negotiate with my own? It's a lot easier to compete for a term like that with a well-written blog than it is for Car Accident Attorney Atlanta. Those are hyper-focused bottom of the funnel searches. So I'll tell people your expectations should be you're going to start getting more intakes. The quality is probably going to be low, maybe in that, you know, 3 to 4 month time frame. But as you run up the first page of Google, the quality will get higher and the frequency will get more often. Then it's a question that I always ask an attorney is, what's your threshold for a case? I talk to some attorneys who are like, oh, if I can get a car accident, you know, $10,000, you know, great. And then I talk to other attorneys who don't want to touch anything unless it's six figures or more. So there's two different conversations on expectations. Like that latter person, they might need to wait 6 to 8 months before they get something that's worth it to them. But that one case could cover the next year's marketing for them. So there's definitely no clean answer to that. I wish there was. But I think setting the stage with a proper expectation will help get through that valley of doubt a lot easier.
Yeah, I've never actually heard an SEO person say, describe it the way you did, which is you're going to start moving up the page and your leads are going to kind of be crappy at first, or maybe just not the best quality leads. because the people at the top are maybe rejecting them. And so they're kind of going down the page trying to find more. And then as you break into the top three, five, whatever the number is, then they get more quality. I mean, that's really interesting because I could see someone saying, I'm getting more leads, but they're crappy. You know, they're, you know, oh, great, I'm getting more leads, but they're not good leads. And it makes sense, like logically makes sense. And I think a lot of times with SEO, sometimes things don't logically make sense when they're described because it's such a weird sort of space. So I like that.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate. I do this. I've been working in internet marketing since 2006, and I still do a Google search and don't go past the fifth result. I just assume Google is going to find me the best result. Now, I know how silly that is because I work in the legal industry and I know some of the best trial attorneys in the country, and I could do a Google search in their hometown and they don't show up in the first five pages. So I know factually that Google isn't always presenting me with the best information, but it's just built into us at this point because Google's been part of our lives for so long that, oh, Google's a search engine and it's going to show me the best result in the top three or four. So that's what will happen. And I'll talk to attorneys all the time and I'll say, oh, you got 10 intakes. And they're like, oh yeah, that person is just cutting and pasting. You know, they're the same intake form because they're just trying to find somebody to take their case. So with it's a game in which to the victor go all the spoils. So the people are showing up in the maps and the top 3 to 5 positions in Google are getting all the cases. You can be at the top of page 2 for every single term that you want, and you'll get 0 phone calls. It's just the nature of how Google works.
Mm. Great stuff. Okay, so let's move on a little bit to SEO strategies that are working today. They seem to change a lot. What are some of the foundational strategies that you're doing with attorneys that are driving traffic to them and building?
Okay, so I'll start out by being super boring and repetitive. Everybody talks about content. Content is still important. The number one thing I tell people with content is don't try to fool Google. Google is very explicit in what they want. They want high quality original content. So if you're going to create a page, I would rather somebody spend, you know, 10 hours on one really well-defined car accident page specific to your city, specific to the road, specific to the state, than pump out 10 garbage blogs, you know, just repeating about a car accident story that was written by, you know, 5 of your local newspapers. So be really, really dedicated to providing that good content. Now, when we're talking about some of the latest things that Google is looking at and employing, one is Core Web Vitals, which is a change to their algorithm that is really looking at a couple of different things. And this is the on-site portion of SEO. So there's 3 ways you can really affect your rankings. One is on-site, your website. How well does it perform? And I'll get a little more detail in a second. Content, if the page doesn't exist on your website, you're not going to be found for it. So if you list car accidents, medical malpractice, nursing home, and you just got 10 bullet points, you're competing against somebody who's got an entire 1,500 words on bed sores or an entire, you know, 2,000 words on surgical errors. So you've got to have that content on the website. And then you need to have those high value, authoritative, relevant links to that website. And that area can get murky as well. But let's get back to your main question, which was, what are these things today? So what Google's looking at now is user experience. And what that means is, how easy is it for me to use the website? And because over 80% of all searches are done on a mobile phone, your organic rankings are all based on your mobile performance. So how quickly does that website load? What's the length of time for my first interaction? Do you have annoying interstitials, which is, I pull up your website, I'm on your car accident page, and boom, up pops an ad. Or, you know, can we help? You know, chat with me. Those are things that Google really doesn't like. So what we're looking at is, how easy is it to navigate from a mobile phone? Can I get to any page within a couple of clicks? And then some of the more sophisticated things Google will look at is time on site. You know, will they go to more than one page? If they're comparing my car accident page in Oklahoma City to 5 of the competitors and they're on my page 20% longer, in that case, that's going to be a better valuable page. So without Google using humans, which they can't do, without just going off of links, they're using all of these, what they call user experience or UX, to figure out which one of these websites is going to be more user-friendly. Hmm.
And, okay, talk to me a little bit about the content. And, you know, if someone's considering, like, wanting to do some of this on their own, or, you know, they're just wanting to start ad content. You said quality is better than quantity, which makes sense. Is there a frequency thing? Is there a length conversation? You know, just like real, like tactical. If someone's saying, hey, I have a marketing manager, I want them to write this content. What's a reasonable amount for expectations that they should be looking for?
Yeah. So we typically say, as a rule of thumb, you don't want any page to be less than 500 words. And then we'll have what we'll call kind of our practice area pages, or our tent poles. So your personal injury overview. A lot of times what we'll do, if we take over a website and their page is really good, well-written, 500 to 750 words, over a couple of months, we'll build that up to say 1500 words. And one of the reasons we'll do this is we'll look at who's ranking in highly competitive markets and see how many words do they have on their page. You know, how many times do they use the keyword that we want to target? What type of images do they have? What's their load speed? What are some of their core web vitals? And we'll kind of use that as our benchmark. Okay, we see in Chicago, in order to rank for a wrongful death attorney, the average person at the in the top five has at least 1,200 words. Okay, that's not the only thing you're going to aim for, but that's that we're going to try to use a little bit of reverse engineering. But the other thing that we do when we're writing content is we want to write a page. Each page that you write is written for one search term. So we're not trying to write a page in Chicago that also ranks for Naperville and Skokie and, you know, Gary, Indiana. You can't have it all. So if you're going to write a page of content, be hyper-focused on that term. So if you're writing a page for slip and falls, and then you're going to target a geography with that. And what we like to do is just start out with a really well-written and researched page of content. And by researched, I mean, in the South, somebody might say car wreck. In the Northeast, they might say car crash. On the West Coast, they might say car accident. And there's tools that you can use to find out how people search in specific areas. And we want to use all that knowledge to create a page that's really going to focus on two audiences: Google, because we want it to rank, and then the potential client, because we want it to convert. We're never going to have as much knowledge on the law as an attorney. So we'll typically want them to be the arbiter of what they legally want to say, and then add in their experience. So if we provide you a page that has 750 words, if you add another 250 to make it that much better, now you've got a really good page.
Nice. I love the approach of, you know, you want to rank for a term, let's say car accident, whatever, highly competitive. And then maybe we talk about something less competitive, but then you go and just look at what the other attorneys are doing that you want to be, and you just benchmark there and then start with that. I mean, that's, it's so obvious when you say it, but I've never actually thought about SEO that way. It's like, this guy's ranked number one, let's get all of his metrics and then try and improve on all of those metrics. Very obvious. Never heard that in 10 years of marketing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Google's already rewarding that. So how do you do that? And obviously everything we want to be custom. We're not trying to carbon copy that and then change a couple words. It's okay, here's what Google's giving respect to right now. How do we make that better? And that's usually the starting point.
Yeah. And then the third thing you mentioned was links. You know, can you just sort of start by explaining the link building world a little bit? You already have. And then, you know, how you do link building. And then there's ways to get links just on your own, right? By doing a podcast or by writing an article. So can you talk about exactly what they are? Because I think it can be sort of fuzzy for people. And then also ways that you like to generate links.
Yeah. So I always like using analogies, because SEO is kind of boring and technical in its practice. So I compare link building. So what a link is Google is looking at who is linking to your website. And each one of those links is kind of like a reference or a referral. So my example would be, so if I'm coming to Phoenix and I ask you for a restaurant recommendation, I'm going to go, all right, well, Adam lives in Phoenix. He understands, you know, he's been out to dinner there. And if he gives me a recommendation, I'm going to take that to heart. Now, if I ask Gordon Ramsay for a restaurant recommendation, I'm probably going to put that above yours. No offense to you. But that's how links work. So some links have some value, some links have no value, and some links have a lot of value. So part of the link building process is, if I've got an article that I can post on a really well-respected blog or article site, and that blog is all about accidents, car accidents, personal injury, that link is not only going to be authoritative, but relevant. And I'm going to want to probably feed that to an internal page on car accidents. Well, if there's another website that talks about dog bites or employment issues, you know, retaliation, harassment, I'm going to want to take that link and put it to an employment site. So part of this link building is really going after some of these high value authoritative links. And some of it is just blocking and tackling. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of directories out there that Google has respect for. And I've mentioned some of them like FindLaw, Martindale, Hubble, Justia. They've built up really good resources that are attorney focused. You would not believe how many attorneys' profiles are inconsistent. So they might be linking to an old website when they were partners with another attorney, or their address might be different because they've moved locations twice. Those things create inconsistencies and doubt in Google's mind. So our job is to go in and take all the assets that you have available to you, find out and make sure that they're all consistent. If they're not consistent, then we'll either go in and fix them, or in a lot of cases, we'll have to get credentials because they're attorney properties that they need to log into. And now we start creating this natural look and flow of inbound links. It's probably about 8, maybe even 10 years ago now, where Google completely crushed people who were doing this fake link building. You could literally buy a link for a dollar, and you could have somebody in Pakistan or Bangladesh build you 10 links a day. And it worked for a long, long time, but it doesn't work anymore. The debate is still up of whether there's such a thing as negative SEO, meaning if I'm buying garbage links, is it going to negatively affect me? The argument to that is, well, then I'll just buy negative links for you, you know, and I'll try to hurt your site. So I think there can be high value, medium value, and no value in links. It's you know, jury's out on whether there's negative value, unless you're creating so like your own link network, which used to happen. People would have specialty sites and then link them all together to theirs. That's pretty easy to see because they're probably all on the same server and it's all linked to the same Google My Business and it's all going to the same spot. So there are some things that can get you in trouble.
Let's shift gears a little bit to what's your perspective on doing SEO in-house versus hiring an outside company to do it?
So it's a good question. I actually had a presentation on this, and I think doing things in-house, there's three different steps to it. I hope I'm going to remember all three. So the first one would be hiring a marketing manager. Now, hiring a marketing manager, one person, let's say you're a small firm, you got a budget, you're like, I want to keep my marketing in-house. Just keep in mind that that one person is never going to be able to do everything that you need. They're not going to be technical enough to update the website. They're not going to understand social media. They're not going to understand content writing. They're not going to be able to do SEO. So you're not going to find a jack of all trades that can do that. And if that person exists, they've probably got their own marketing company and, you know, are making a good living. You want that person to be very, very well educated in, you know, a lot of different things so that they can vet people. So if you're going to hire a content writer, you know, because you don't need a full-time content writer, someone who can vet them and provide, you know, 3 to 5 pieces of content. Are you going to do SEO with somebody else? Are they somebody that can interact with your outside SEO company? That's kind of your first step, marketing manager, as you're growing. Now, if you get to a point where you say, I can afford a couple people. I can afford somebody who understands SEO and has some technical ability to keep updating my website. And I can also afford somebody who can be a content writer, who can always update my social media posts, who can write me new blogs, who can update my practice area pages. That's a really good way to do that. The negative side is, how are you, who is an attorney, going to vet a really good SEO person or a really good content writer? The writer thing is probably a little bit easier, but again, these writers need to have a background in how to research the information that they're writing. So, you know, us as a company that employs writers, SEOs, we probably interview 7 to 10 people for every one person. And we're now a nationwide company, meaning we're all working from home. So we're picking the best people in the country, not just the best people who are in, you know, Orlando, or, you know, now one of our offices is in Austin. So I don't think it's a bad idea at all. And there are some really good firms that have some really good in-house marketing teams that are 100% focused on them. But it's not as simple as hiring one person, and it's not as cheap as you might think.
Yeah, that's really a common scenario I see, where you want to do SEO and pay-per-click and then just whatever else the firm is doing, you know, events or website, whatever. And they hire one marketing person and just spread too thin and nothing moves forward. And we have the same issue with running ads, is finding the right person. We interview so many people and we can discern very quickly who knows how to run ads because we know the questions to ask, we know the right answers. But if you're a marketing manager hiring someone and you don't know those, or you're an attorney, that's really hard. Just like I would not be able to ask an attorney questions to vet how qualified they are. You know, it's like I'm hiring attorneys for whatever I need and I don't know if they're good attorneys. I mean, how do you vet an attorney?
It's obvious if you use that example, or even a mechanic. I mean, if I was to hire a full-time mechanic, which I don't need, I would have no idea. I would have, besides operating the seatbelt, that's about as far as my technical expertise goes in cars. So they could tell me a fluffy story about how they're the best mechanic in the world, but I'd never be able to vet that.
Right. What do you see as... Do you see any changes in the SEO industry coming? You know, let me just leave it at that. Do you see any changes over the next several years, or has it been changing currently? What's the future of SEO right now?
Yeah, I think the mobile experience, I think in my mind, is the one of the things that companies like ours, or our industry as a whole, needs to get. We're going to be getting more sophisticated. I always tell people, I think the legal world is about 5 years behind, the regular, you know, gizmo world. So if you're going to see like a website, like you say Nike's website, or somebody who's selling to consumers, they're going to be at the front end because they're talking really high volume and there's, you know, billions of dollars at stake. And then that kind of trickles down to, you know, law firms that are going to be a little bit more conservative in their approach. They're not going to be the first ones to raise their hand and say, hey, let's completely reinvent, you know, my mobile website. But as we see trends in some of these consumer-focused websites and the way that they're doing things, that will start to trickle in. And you'll get early adopters in law firms who I can show an example of hey, check out this consumer-based website and how they're interacting. You know, some of the things like I used to be kind of a naysayer on the click to chat, but then I found myself on hold with AT&T and them suggesting their chat, and I got my service done, you know, whatever I needed done within 5 minutes, and I didn't have to sit on hold for 20 minutes. So that was something new that now almost all attorneys have click to chat, and now it's actually going to AI click to chat, where you can program in your choose your own adventure of, do you have an estate planning issue or do you have a business litigation issue? Boom, 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 boom. Here's the person that you need to contact. So things like that, where you're making it, think about the mobile experience. You know, no one wants to type in a bunch. No one wants to read 1,000 words, even though we need to have those words on there to rank. You want information bite size, and then you want action. I want to contact this person. I want to call this person. I want to text this person. So I see the mobile experience being the biggest thing that's going to change. And then one thing I'll kind of add that I think piggybacks onto that is, you know, there's always a conversation about SEO is going away. SEO is dead. There's LSAs, you know, there's PPC. And I think there's a place for LSAs. I think there's a place for PPC. But the one thing I always tell people is Google is not the number one search engine because they have the best ads. They're the number one search engine because people trust them the most, and they trust them with their organic. So I think there's always got to be this healthy balance between running PPC ads, which people will happily click on a PPC ad if it fits their search. So, and then they'll happily, you know, search, they'll go below the PPC ads if they're trying to get information. And that's really where our blogging strategy and practice area strategy and content strategy falls in.
Yeah. And there's also plenty of people that just don't like clicking on ads. They're just, they just have an aversion to it. And I'm pretty sure my wife is one of them. And they say, I don't want to click on an ad. And I'm like, to me, I'm like, well, an ad just means that they have budget to spend. And, you know, but they actually trust the organic rankings a lot more. And which is sort of funny considering what you were saying earlier, which is, you know, there's still a game being played in the organic rankings and it's not always the best result, but the attorney's not putting their best foot forward. And that's just sort of the way it is.
But yeah.
Well, great. Well, before we wrap up here, can you tell us just a little bit more about Market My Market and, you know, how you feel you have a differentiating space in the SEO? I mean, you've provided tons of value. So I want people to know a little bit more about your business before we close out the podcast.
Sure. Thanks again for having me and the opportunity to kind of tell you a little bit more about Market My Market. So the biggest differentiator in us is we've really built a team around a bunch of processes. And those and the reason that these processes are important is if you're just kind of winging it each month, you're not necessarily going to have a focus. So everybody who comes on board with us gets a 30, 60, and 90-day plan. We say within those 90 days, what we're going to do to the website, what content that you're going to get, and the SEO that we're going to perform. And it gets hyper detailed. Most attorneys, I doubt, go through the entire document, but it's hyper detailed. And then we hook you up with a full-time account manager. And that account manager is going to schedule in the beginning a conversation every 2 weeks and go over all of the things that have been happening, the good and the bad. So when we take over a website, the fact of the matter is we're making so many changes, you're going to see some really positive things and you're going to see some things dip. And we'll have explanations for those. So most people will provide a report and say, hey, here's a Google report. It gets automatically generated every month. Have at it. We'll take that report and dissect it and go through you with, we just had one last week where we had a 30% dip in traffic. Well, when we went back to the month prior, there was one day there was an enormous amount of traffic that came from bots. So there was a whole bunch of bots that were checking the traffic. We could show where the traffic came from. It wasn't from legitimate sources. And then it kind of leveled out. So if we were to just send a random report, some they might think, oh, wow, we're not getting as good of a service or we're starting to decline in our traffic. Whereas we're really pouring extra time in to make sure that you see the value that's being provided and the expectations that we set are being met. And everything is transparent with us. So there's 24 access to your rankings, your traffic. And when I say rankings, like you'll be able to see all the search terms that we're tracking for you, whether that's estate planning, divorce lawyer, where you rank now and where you ranked over the last 90 days. So it's a hands-on approach. It's a complete transparency and, you know, holding ourselves accountable to the expectations we set.
Yeah. And transparency in your space is just so incredibly critical because people can lock up a 6-month agreement and provide very little information. I mean, I've seen emails with like screenshots of rankings and like just so, you know, hodgepodge, just like stuff thrown together. And it's like, this is my SEO report, like an email with screenshots. And then right. Like, everything's always good too. Like every number's green and going up. And I'm like, there's no possible way.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. I think that's great. And then the website is marketmymarket.com. Is that right?
Marketmymarket.com. Correct.
Great. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate the time and the value. I mean, I learned a ton from this and I've known about SEO for a lot. I mean, I've known a lot about SEO, but I learned a lot of things. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Adam. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks.